as one of the top three winners will go on to compete at the New England Finals.
Go on to compete at the New England Finals. Do you remember that part?
That wasn't real. That's fake news. That did not happen.
Truly, truly do not want to wear those things ever for a conversation on a podcast. I think it's very, very silly. There we go. Give us some privacy from the heathens. Yeah, of course you're the heathens. Nope. We're good. Goodbye, heathens. I think that's as much privacy as we're gonna get. No, but I you know what? If I squish my cords for the sake of sitting on this lovely deck, enjoying the Vermont sun.
Isn't it beautiful?
I am very jealous of
you
guys.
We should walk up there and so you can see the
The trails
pit.
And yeah. The fire.
Well, the trails too, because Tanner's done a great job, but the fire pit is really great.
Oh, yeah, that's true. We haven't wandered in the woods yet.
Yeah.
Is that where, that's where you
that's
initially
what we do.
Kill
that's
the
what
bodies.
We do here, yeah. Well, we do murder the people in the woods first, and then we put them in the murder barn.
I get that the spirit of Vermont, why would you need or want a pretty barn? That doesn't seem like a very Vermont thing of like, we have this luxurious barn.
I feel like rural Vermont is just cows and barns. I do feel like there's a lot of...
And the bodies in the barns.
Bodies in the barns. There's a lot of like millionaires and billionaires that do build their fancy barns here.
And I feel like that's against the spirit of Vermont. Is the outside billionaires who come in and are like, oh, I have to be a Vermonter.
Yeah.
Let me build this really nice looking barn.
Yeah.
No, you need a barn that has blood
dead
undetermined,
bodies.
Whether it's human or animal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Stacked full of cow poop.
I mean, this is... I was just talking, I think it was last episode, about the dream is to get a house... with comedy money.
Mm.
And I get a little piece of the dream. Mm-hmm. This weekend of living mm-hmm. in this lovely space. So thank you for letting us come up. And also welcome to the pod, Daniel Mishkit.
Thank you.
One half of Borrow the Bones.
Yeah.
After your debut show. That's why we came up. So thank you so much for, again, letting us come
so
to the show.
I'm so glad you came.
It was so fun.
It was a blast.
So awesome because Tanner, as you know, has the ability to undersell stuff.
Yes.
And he was getting the text from his friends about it of like, damn, Danielle really buried the lead. Why didn't you guys tell us? And he told me that you were starting a band up and... that you were a good singer, and I was like, oh, that's really cool. And then he's like, yeah, she won the Vermont's Idol.
Oh god.
Like,
yeah,
okay, that's
it's
cool
not
too.
Vermont's
like,
Idol, it was a small town,
and
but
whichever it was, either way it was something Idol. And then
that was also over a decade ago,
but the button on this is like, you can't just sing, you can rip. You
Thank
have
you.
Pipes. Like, that was...
What were you expecting,
Surprising.
Actually? Like, when you heard, oh, Danielle's, you know, she's, like, starting a band and whatnot. Like, what were you expecting?
So, okay. So
were you preparing to be let down?
No.
Because that would have been so awkward if I was really terrible. Because, like, I remember watching American Idol, you know, back in the day when it was, like,
yeah.
you know, American
Whether
Idol.
Janet McNamara, Boston comedian, was one of the American Idols
okay.
that, like, they put through as a joke. Like, she knew she wasn't.
Yeah.
She did it as a bit.
But there were some people that, like, really thought they were.
She banged! She banged! William Hung, a king.
Yes.
But no, I was.
So, I mean, I was a little afraid when I first started singing that that's actually, that was me, that I thought.
When you first started singing
good,
as like a young as a youngin or like again now as an
okay,
adult?
So it was the classic, like, you get home from school, your parents aren't home yet, you check to see if anyone's home, and then you turn on your really old computer.
Check to see if the robbers are around.
Yeah. And then you turn on some stupid song and you sing at the top of your lungs to see if you're good at singing, and you record yourself.
I never did the recording.
Okay, well,
that was always
how do you know that you were good or bad?
I just assumed back. I was bad.
Okay. So I was like, okay, I think I might be good.
Singing is way too vulnerable.
It can be, yeah. For sure.
So, you like, I think I can be good.
Yeah.
And so, decided... So, again, is this, like... coming home from school for this. This is, like, 10-ish or something? Mm, what?
I feel like I would sing to myself in middle school.
All right, so around that.
So, okay, even further, though. I've always been a little bit of a, like, ham, a performer in some way. With my family. Like, I think anyone... And close friends. Like, I have some really best friends, and I'm the goofiest girl. But, like, if you meet me, you would not think that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, very reserved. So, as a kid, like, probably, yeah, around 10, I actually had a stage name when I was putting on performances for my
family. D. Miskies.
No.
You were a white rapper.
It was completely made up. Oh, God. That's a no. It was Lizzie Lorena.
Fun. Okay. Yeah, was Lebrina. It taken from Lizzie McGuire too?
Well, I probably loved Lizzie
McGuire. As I was going to say, it seems like it was around that pocket.
And actually, she had a full name. It was Lizzie Lorena Akendor.
Wow.
But we dropped the Akendor when I became famous.
Of course. The alliteration is
yes,
what...
Yes, Lizzie Lorena.
What
I'm actually still kind of hoping that like maybe that'll still happen someday.
It's fun. I mean, yeah. You need... like, especially if it's a different thing that you're trying to get across. Like, I remember... writing something serious that was getting edited by people that had a twist that involved a death at the end.
Mm.
And one of the people editing it laughed. And I was like, why do you think that's funny? Like, cause you do stand up, you write jokes. And I was like, fuck, mm-hmm. That's not at all what I was going for right now. This is a completely different vibe. So Lizzie Lorena might be best friends with Jefferson Ash.
Lizzie Lorena is a star.
So you thought that you might actually be good, and then do you just go up to
whichever parent?
Because
no, I held on to that information. That one. Yeah, maybe let's not go into that.
Whichever parent you felt comfortable going to, we won't say which, but.
Well, so I feel like I had a hint that maybe I was good at singing, but I was really afraid that like maybe I wasn't, and it was all in my head. So yeah, anxiety starts young.
Yeah. Oh, very. Yeah.
and then it wasn't until I was in chorus class, but then
was that like the little toe dip then of like, yeah. Maybe I don't want to say I'll just go be around like other people. And
everyone
maybe
had to be in chorus.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then because we went to a small school, the music program got cut. So, you know, and then classic. I didn't get to do that.
Hey, even if you go to a bigger school, the arts still will get cut for lacrosse. So
yeah, I mean, that's
just the way, that's the way that's it goes, the way the baby.
So the first time that I sang, I think the first time that I sang like in front of people was this competition when I was a senior in high school.
Wow. That was the first time in front of people, even though you'd been ripping it for so like 10 to 6.
And even then like it was like, I think I'm good, but I don't really know.
Wow.
So I did that.
What was the comp? What was it? Like a couple rounds, just go through?
It was probably like 12 people. You had to audition.
Okay.
And then... I live, you know, a small town of 1,000, so like it's not that many people.
Still.
And then I think they picked like the 12 people who made it.
I was gonna say real quick, I'm sure the adults showing up for that audition didn't think they were gonna lose to a 17-year-old.
There were some younger people, and we actually, I mean, there was like a few very good singers, in the mix. So, it was a decent.
So you won. Was there a cash prize? Did you get a big check?
I almost feel like there was a prize, but I don't remember what it was. I don't remember.
Hey, is one of our producers in there? Hey, Jamie. Nope. All right, they're gone.
Oh,
I was
going
to say, Tanner, Google if they was a...
I'm not even sure that you can Google it.
You can. I found it.
Oh, no. Actually, I do know that
I found the article that says
on there.
Oh, wait. There's a video, too?
Oh,
oh, you played your cards too much, my friend.
Yeah.
Oh, hey.
The only reason I know that is because...
Can you Google Danielle Mishkit...
Valley Idol.
Valley Idol prize. If there were... She can't remember if there was a cash prize or if there was something...
For some reason, I remember like one of those cardboard cutout
like, I feel
checks.
Like I remember in the article I saw, it was like...
She did? That's the... Oh, my God.
She crushed it. Here's $250. You got anything?
Top three winners will go on to compete at the New England Finals.
Go on to compete at the New England Finals. Do you remember that part?
That wasn't real. That's fake news. That did not happen.
That's it.
That's not even real. I don't know what that is. That's somebody
else. You got
else.
Fucking gypped.
No, because this is just scammed. Like a local competition.
Thank you. Thank you, Jamie.
No, that was just a local competition. There was no... I might have gotten some money. Like $250.
They just made up another for a contest.
Yeah, they didn't send me. I feel like I might have missed my chance there. 12 years later, here I am.
Oh my God. So that's... Yeah. So you win that, and then I know where you went for college and stuff, but did you sing at college too? Where'd you end up next?
So the other kind of... Oh, you know what? That's actually a part of this. So I did sing the national anthem in high school. I think I only sang it like at Tanner's championship.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So you did. Okay. So you did sing in front of other people.
I did.
Okay.
And it could have been after or before. I don't really know. But I did sing the national anthem in high school like a couple of
Your
times.
Your future husband.
Yeah. At the time. Yep.
You were not dating though at the time, right?
When I was, I don't think so.
You're just friends?
Yeah.
That's fun to look back on then, I bet, right?
I mean, I've known him, yeah, my whole life, but. So fun.
Say, don't sound so thrilled about it.
So when I went to college, which is kind of embarrassing, I did audition for the like a cappella groups, which looking back, I am not an a cappella singer. You have to have a very specific type of voice
strong.
For that. Yeah, I have a belt voice,
you're,
and I don't.
You're too good for a cappella groups.
I wouldn't say that. They're very technical. And I'm
sure,
not necessarily
okay.
a technical singer, and I definitely wasn't then.
Okay.
I have had some training now since then, and that,
all right.
but whatever. So I
tried
out for that.
Technical is the nice way to put it. Look, I dated one girl who was in the acapella group, and they were solid, but I would have liked some like well, you know, I don't.
That was
a poor impression, no, but you get what I like. Prime Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah,
that's what I was getting the vibe from. That's
yeah.
that was the energy that you were putting out.
Yeah.
That was that I was, you know, and you can't be
well,
prime Kelly Clarkson in a group of 16 other acapellaists.
Yeah, so I tried out and I was clearly not. And all the other girls too, like they had acapella in their high schools and
yeah.
here I was like my entire music program got cut and that was not. And I also like played sports, so it was like I didn't even have time to do that. Yeah. So I obviously did not make it. They also asked you to harmonize and I had no idea what that
meant. Oh, because that's a technical
yeah.
skill.
And I didn't
and
know what that
never,
meant.
Yeah.
So anyways,
just
I didn't make
alone.
It. Yeah. Which
hey,
is fine.
Michael Jordan didn't make his varsity
yeah,
team.
There you go.
That's a classic one.
But I did audition for singing the national anthem at the UVM basketball and hockey games, men's, which were like, I was really big. And I actually got the like lead spot. So I got to sing at the men's hockey games and the men's basketball games
cool.
for UVM. So I did that on
And
rotation.
Those are big games too. Isn't that
yeah, there's a lot of people there. And like they
it's
asked
like 10K
me,
at least, right?
One of my most proud moments was like, they asked me to sing at the opening men's basketball game, which was
cool.
like a huge event
yeah.
at the time. And so that was fun. And I'm glad that I did that. But
How was the heartbeat?
The heartbeat was racing. And that was also like pre-Lexapro. So really racing.
She's freaking out. Keep going. I just want to make sure that this is my anxiety popping in myself too.
Yeah, you dabble.
Okay, great.
So I had to do a women's hockey game once and I forgot the words.
No way.
Yep.
I don't want you to look in the sun. I'll look into the sun.
Okay. Or sit on the bench. We can sit across from each other.
Oh, that's smart. Will it reach? Probably.
I don't know.
Probably. This is the long cord. Oh, wonderful.
It can go a little bit.
Okay. So you forgot the words?
I forgot the words. And everyone, the hockey girls, the hockey team girls, started singing. So that was nice that
oh,
they all joined
cool.
in. But I was embarrassed for the life of me. And I don't even know that I ever went back. Like, I didn't want to do it again.
That's nice
that
they
so
joined in, though.
It's, and unfortunately, hopefully it's changed since then. But also nobody would go to the women's hockey
oh,
games.
No.
So there wasn't a lot many people there, I guess, is a positive. But it's also
say,
negative. Because like
good
they should
for
go to the
you.
Women's hockey games. Go,
yeah, of course.
Go to the UVM women's hockey games. But
except when Danielle is singing and forgets
the words.
Words.
Yeah. So I actually still dabble with forgetting the words. That I'm very anxious about forgetting words
because
think
of that moment,
yeah.
maybe.
Yeah.
What did you do when you forgot the words at that moment in the UVM game? And then going forward, how are you going to change that?
Okay. Fight, flight, freeze. I froze.
Okay.
Luckily other people joined in and then I just started singing and then I ran out of there. And I remember I had to go to work after. I worked at a Marriott
Ooh.
And I had to like run to work after and I was just like miserable.
So fight, flight, freeze, you froze and then flighted.
Yeah.
In the future, maybe just
work through it.
Riff some sounds out.
Or like a hee hee, oopsies.
I'm so pretty though,
yeah,
right, guys?
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of what I would laugh it off now. Because like even at the show, I don't know, I messed up some words a few times. But you just kind of just continue and it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean,
words are hard.
I think you get, words are hard. Yeah. I think you get, as I was, we were telling, I think you get like a couple of the, oh, I forgot this or I forgot that. And you can shout it out and it's
yeah,
endearing or funny or whatever. But if you then just keep calling attention to it, the crowd doesn't notice how you said.
Well, I also, like, my set list that I had the starts of the words to, like, each of the verses.
Right.
So, like, for me, that was my safety net.
Yeah.
And
like, a little trigger, remember.
Yeah,
exactly.
And so, like, I'm using that now. Hopefully, I can graduate from that at some point. But that's I've used it. It's just, like,
comics using set list. It's
net.
The same thing. Yeah. It's, like, there's just that tiny little phrase
to help you
on a piece of paper. And then if somebody else finds it, they're like, this is a mental patient.
Yeah.
What
or
is
like a secret code
yeah.
for like some spy.
What does parachuting soup
mean? Yeah, exactly.
So I mean, it definitely is cool once you can get off the set list. I think that was, you know, it's not like a do or die thing. It just adds a little extra facade of this is spontaneous or whatever, instead of like, oh, I'm gonna look over to my notes,
right? And like professionalism too.
Right,
not that I don't judge anyone for that, but just
hold yourself to your own standard. It's, there's that classic, I think it's I forget who said it, but it's be lenient with others and strict with yourself.
Mm.
And there's, of course, a fine line between being strict with yourself and being mean to yourself.
Right.
But you can want the best out of your performances.
Absolutely.
And
yeah. I've found a nice middle ground with that. Because I always have been really hard on myself. But with this and doing something new like this, certainly have given myself a lot of grace. And just, like, go roll with the punches.
So how do you classify this as new though if you have been singing your whole life? Do you mean like the performance aspect of it?
Performing in this realm, performing with a live person. So like when I was singing like in these singing competitions, I had done two singing competitions.
Okay.
And it was to a track and it was a cover.
Mm,
so you're singing
yeah.
to a track, an acapella.
Yeah.
Not acapella, a karaoke
right,
version
yeah.
of a
So you need
So now I'm playing with
like
another
timing,
individual.
Like actual like rhythm.
Timing,
yeah.
rhythm. If he starts playing the guitar too fast, I need to, you know, match with him
yeah,
or we need to
up.
Figure it out together.
Yeah.
If I miss words, I need to pick up the beat again. It's
yeah.
like all it's very different. And playing or singing to live music is very different than singing to a track. The track is very predictable. Live music is with another human. So that was all new for me.
Do you like the predictability? Would you rather that? Or are you excited for the...
I think it's very obvious that it's like not as entertaining if it's a track.
I think then it can be as entertaining, but the person doing it has to be... It's a similar conversation to Perry that was just on. Mm-hmm. He's the lead singer of Beef. Perry Beef. He was saying if you do a cover, you have to like really bring it and nail it, especially if it's a song that everybody loves, because otherwise it's just going to sound kind of crappy.
Yeah.
You know, especially when we were talking about Creedence Clearwater Revival and mm-hmm. how that's so hard because John Fogerty already sounds so unique. So you have to really fucking go for it. Otherwise, just be like, boo, bummer. We know we see the predictability. That's a really cool way of putting it, of like it is predictable. And yes, it's annoying if you do forget the words, but that is an aspect of live performance. That's like we're in the room. We get to see how the sausage is made. And
right,
for the first time sausage, it was some good sausage.
God.
That was some pretty impressive sausage.
Yeah.
So back to your first question of what I expected.
Yes, right.
I think I was going for, I thought like a Head in the Heart Hozier type thing, maybe.
Isn't Head in the Heart religious?
Jamie! Is Head in the Heart a religious band? Yeah, no, I thought, yeah. No, they're not, no, they do,
Who am I thinking of?
Are you thinking of Creed?
No. If you thought that, I was going to sound like Creed.
Awesome. Hey, if you sound like Creed, I'm going to pay $100 to see you. Not even just as a friend, because let's go. Take me higher, Danielle. No, Head in the Heart is the Rivers and Roads. You know that one? Rivers and Roads. Yeah, that's Head in the Heart. So I was kind of expecting that. Like, yeah, exactly. See? Yeah. Like a Hozier and maybe Noah vibe. Which
okay,
there
so
was,
more folk.
Yeah, more
folk. Which I had some folky stuff.
There was. I.
Yeah.
So the.
Well, I don't. To be honest, I don't really have a genre. I don't think we've, like, found that.
I don't think so either. I
yet,
think.
Like, we're very genre agnostic, if you will.
Your. If you are the Bones, your co-member Borrow.
I'm not sure that.
Or
that's
if you're Borrow,
that
the co-member Bones. Either yeah. way, Paul. I think I would love to know if he's a Paul Simon guy, because as I told you, I think he really is influenced by Simon and Garfunkel. That would be my my guess for sure. And then to go from that vibe to like. I'm a powerful woman. Here's my middle finger. Blah, blah, blah. I was like, okay, this is okay. We're figuring our sound out.
I'm a powerful woman. Here's my middle finger.
I was really impressed.
I mean, that does encapsulate some of my songs.
It does. I was really impressed. You guys did a 2-hour set.
Yeah. So actually, we had to cut 4 songs.
So how did you end up?
After the intermission, we took the set list back, and we were like, all right, what songs are we going to cut? Because we're already at an hour.
Yeah.
And we removed 4 of them.
Was that your idea of like a hello to the community, hello world, like we're doing a 2-hour set, where you just like, we have all this stuff to play, why don't we just do it?
So
we have the time.
If we were a store, this show was like our grand opening. Technically, we did a soft opening.
Okay.
So we did a soft opening at this small bar in Calais, Vermont, and it doesn't hold that many people, so like we only invited like a few close family and friends. And that was like a tester. And that show went really well. We had a very similar set. And we'd had a 45 minutes, 10-minute intermission, 45 minutes kind of thing. And since that show and this show, we had some new music that we wrote. So, like, we introduced those songs. But I would say that we were both a bit more comfortable with, like, at least I definitely was. Paul has performed before and has been in the music industry for a long time. But it was definitely... This is the first time that he has performed his own music, so it's definitely special. We're on the same playing field.
That was the first time he performed his own stuff, too?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, like, that's definitely special. We're on the same playing ground there. But I felt more comfortable this time around, like, talking about my songs, not just singing them, which I think adds a nice touch as somebody in the audience. So that, I think, does eat up time more than you think it would.
Right, because you're saying during the tuning...
Yes.
There's a lot of downtime that you wouldn't expect. It's like 20, 30 seconds or something. And then by itself, that's not crazy. But if you have to tune for 9, it's not. No, but if you have to tune for 9 songs, 30 seconds, that's going to be quick math. Yeah. I don't know. 5 minutes, something like that.
Yeah.
That will, you know, just eventually.
A couple songs worth.
Exactly. So eventually, if you just add that up after a show, you do realize like, oh, shit, there is all that time that I could. Mm-hmm. And I feel like. That's such a big part of concerts, though, too, now. It always has been, of course, but, like, the in-between song riffs.
I'll have a lot of artists that I like that I enjoy hearing about, like, what does that song mean to you? Because music can mean things to so many different people in different
Absolutely.
Ways, as it should. But I also really like hearing the story behind it. And sometimes there's no story. Sometimes it's as simple as, like, oh, my gosh, I saw this thing, and then it made me write this song about it. But... that too is like interesting. So for me personally, I like that. I don't know if that's something that everybody likes.
Well, my personal stance, I want to hear. I'm curious where you got the idea for it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really give a shit what you were intending.
Because it could give away too much. You don't want to
tell. I'm not.
This is how you should feel about this song. Yeah.
I really hate. The writers who tell and, or excuse me, show, don't tell? What did Will say?
Tell, don't show?
No, it was show, don't tell.
Okay.
Like, let them kind of see what they want to see instead of being like, I want you to see this. And that's what I always call it hammer writing.
Because
it's the writer being worried that their audience isn't going to get
it. They're not going to get it,
yeah.
Yeah. You do have to be comfortable with that.
Yeah, and if they don't get it,
it wasn't for them.
Yeah,
that's kind of what I like. I feel that way. It's like, if you didn't like that song, then that wasn't for you.
Yeah.
And I know that there are people that do get it or take something from it in their own special way.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, like, right. That's why I'm very much would like to hear how you said, like, oh, where did you come up with that? But I never want to hear the answer and then have them be like, and this is what I was going for. Like, no, like, I don't.
Sure.
That part, you already put it out. Mm-hmm. There's 10 people who listen to it and they have 10 different interpretations of it. That's yep. what the great part about that's all this is. Just yeah. play your cards close to your vest. Don't tell anyone. Treat it like a magic trick.
Yeah, and also, like, there's some wonder around, like, what does that mean?
Right,
them?
So it's, how do you, you know, it was only your first time, but did you walk that line, and do you feel like there was a song or a moment where you're like, shit, maybe I didn't give them enough credit and should have played this a little less obvious, or?
No, I feel like I was happy with my intros. Mm-hmm. For a lot of them, that was the first time that I actually did intros mm. because at that other show, I didn't.
Yeah.
And if I did, it was like, this song's about my dad. And then, like, you know. But, like, that song is a good example of, like, that song, you could take anything you want from it. I didn't have to introduce it at all, but it right. was inspired from my dad, so I said that. But that was it. I didn't, like, explain it away. Let the song kind of speak for itself. So, yeah, I feel like I was happy with the intros that I provided.
Did you get any flack from people you wrote songs about?
Well, it's funny because I did just get a text from Paul, the other half of Bar of the Bones, the Barrow of the Bones, if you will. And he had talked to my dad after the show, and my dad told him that it was actually a 93 Subaru, not a 92 Subaru, because the song is called 92 Subaru, okay. which I knew, but 93 doesn't rhyme with Subaru. So I had to take some creative license.
These are some... You take some liberties with yes. this one. Yeah. It was late 92. It was basically yeah. 93. Yeah.
So
that was the only thing, though. There was.
I mean, nobody's told me, like, hey.
Fair.
I mean, not. I mean, I have some, like, very emotional songs.
That's why I was curious.
Yeah, songs that, like, kind of. I started songwriting in high school. I don't know where those, like, songs are now. Yeah. I probably threw them away.
They're probably also very bad. I was literally about to say, as someone who's found their old writings, yeah. you don't want to find those.
I really don't want to.
There might be, like, one or two lines in it where you're like, oh, cool, I could take that now. Yeah. But the rest of it's going to be like, oh, yeah. God, why did I?
Yeah. So I started that, and then I don't know where
somewhere,
those are. Though. Yeah, but when I moved to Nashville... Coincidentally, I didn't move there for music. I moved there because my husband and I, or boyfriend at the time, we wanted to experience a new place.
Right.
But when I was in Nashville and surrounded by songwriters...
Well, hold on. Little League Tony La Russa.
The pod knows
who the husband
is. Yeah,
exactly.
You've heard about him already. You've heard from him.
The wonderful youth baseball coach. Yeah,
exactly. When we were in Nashville and I was surrounded by so much songwriting and everything, I was definitely inspired. And so that was when my songwriting really started.
Yeah.
And a lot of it was a form of personal therapy
because
I hadn't gone to therapy at that point. And I was like processing emotion. And I just, you know, at whatever it is, like 25, 26, you start to fully form your frontal lobe and you start to be able to process some things. And that's how I processed emotions. And I still do that. I'm not somebody who's going to like, talk too much about it. I mean, I can talk about stuff, but
writing feels
better. I will write
better.
It first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to make sure that whatever gets said is what you want to say instead of we'll figure out where this sentence ends together.
Yeah. So some of those songs are from that period where it's like, I've already processed all the emotions. So like, they're not emotional to me now, but they meant something to me then.
Yeah. That was, I hope I didn't say this on the pod the other day because I just said it to somebody. Might've been Perry, unfortunately, but when I was doing bits about my parents' divorce, I did them. It was very, very soon after that I was trying out some bits that I really love now at an open mic. And someone came up to me afterwards and was like, hey, those are going to be really funny in a little bit.
Yeah, right.
You are far too angry right now and it is way too raw.
It's showing.
But they were like, you got to wait a little bit, man. Keep the premises. Give it a little bit.
Yeah,
they're gonna be awesome, and they're very similar to what I originally wrote. It just is so weird how processing, even if you think you are doing okay at it, it still can read as like, "Oh, your cards are showing, man. Yeah. This is not."
And it can bring up stuff like you think
Absolutely.
You're over it, and then it resurfaces.
And that's too because my mom very much loves the material.
Yeah.
And every show that my dad will come to will still be like, are you going to do the divorce stuff? Just to get, like, as a heads up, I guess he
sure,
wants to know.
Prepared.
It's fun. Like, in the set, though, I call my mom a lot of horrible things and say a lot of mean, terrible stuff. My dad, as far as the things that get said about him, are like, he's hot. He has a big dick. Like,
he comes out okay.
He comes out really positive. And it's so funny that before every show, he's like, are you going to do that material? It's like, dude, everyone's on your side. Everyone loves you from this material. You have nothing to worry about, man. And meanwhile, my mom was like, yeah, she sucks. And she's like, yeah, do the bits.
I love it.
I am the worst. So that's why I was curious if you got hit with that after, like, a text or something of, like, love the song, maybe don't do it if I'm there.
Yeah, no, I haven't gotten any of that. My family isn't just so happy that I'm finally doing this. They wanted me to
As
do
they
it
should
for
be.
A really long time.
I mean, that would suck if... I've lost a friend or two from stand-up, from jokes that they didn't like, and no matter the conversation of, like, it's a joke, I'm sorry, I really didn't mean to hurt you, I obviously don't want your sister to die from cancer, it was just a play on words of a horoscope joke that if 10 years from now comedian Danny could look at it, he would come back in time and be like, that's not even worth it, man.
Yeah, right.
Don't do it. It's not funny.
Yeah.
So, it would suck, though, if that had already happened, like, first show or something of, you know, I'm so happy to be out here doing this thing that I've been wanting to do forever. And someone's like, hey, yeah, great. Fucking, no, not for me. And they absolutely should be supporting you. And also, if they weren't,
fuck them. Yeah, I mean, this isn't about
it's
them.
Not about
they
them.
Obviously have wanted me and supported me, have wanted me to do this and supported me the whole way, but it is also about
it might be
me
about them on the like literally surface level,
sure,
but this it might be about them, but it's for you.
And like looking out at a crowd and seeing all these familiar faces, there were so many people there that I knew, and that is so special. People that drove distances, yourself included.
Yeah, yeah. When like, you're like, you drove special. The furthest, and you're looking at me, and I was like, don't crowd work me, don't.
Yeah, you did.
I'm gonna turn this around you real quick. the driving thing. And of course I was going to, I haven't seen you guys in forever, mm-hmm. But I really wanted to be here and see the show. It was amazing. And just as a heads up, when you start doing more shows, those familiar faces will drop off.
Well, so that's what I was saying is that there's another venue that I was thinking about. I was like, oh, we could play there, but it's in the same town. And I was like, God, I mean, it's not like I can do it like next month because... I don't know that everyone would want to show up again, which is fine. I wouldn't need them to or want them to, but...
There's going to be a point, though, where you're going to have to sing in front of people you don't know.
Yeah.
Which you've done before.
I almost, like, want that.
Yeah.
Not that I don't want people there that I don't like, but... I don't like that. I don't want people there that are my family and friends.
Sometimes if a show, maybe people I don't like, they should be there. So it might be give me a little kick in the ass.
I do have those middle finger songs.
Exactly.
That really support that. But anyways, it's like, yeah, I almost would love to have
that's where
people
I
that I don't know. That would be awesome. That would be the goal.
That's
actually.
Where I stay. Like now, I much prefer. I mean, I love, you know, if people are like, I want to come to a show. I never want to pack a show out with a ton of people I know.
Sure.
Because then what happens is what happened 2-ish months ago where I tried to cut a tape and mm-hmm. my dad did an awesome job of telling everybody in Rhode Island that he knew about the show, and there were a ton of people there, and I spiraled so hard. Yeah. It was just like a mediocre set. It was fine to blech. Like, you know, it wasn't the worst, wasn't mm-hmm. the best. It was very forgetful, which is my least favorite thing. If like people are in the car on the way after, like, oh, who's your favorite? Oh, I like that person. I like that person. Oh,
there's
fuck, there is
that
blonde.
Guy.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that blonde guy. I would so much rather be like, I fucking hated Danny Colletti.
Sure, yeah.
He sucked. Memorable, remember how hard he bombed? Like, at least then it's like, oh, yeah. Who was he? Like, that, I hate that. That would, so for the strangers, at least, like, that's the risk is that they're not gonna know you,
right?
But as far as packing out family and bombing in front of them, that does hurt.
That hurts the ego for sure.
What's next, though, for Borrow the Bones? You just said we can't do a show in a month.
Well, I mean, we certainly can, but we haven't booked anything. Mm. We do have a show booked in February in Cabot, Vermont. And
at the Cheese Creamery?
No. It is at a place called Harry's Hardware. It is at a hardware store.
Fun.
And before, you're like, what, a hardware store? But they were booked out. So we tried to get in there, and they were booked out, and our first spot was February.
So it's a, like, you go in there and like buy a chainsaw or
you
like
can like get
stuff,
some screws and hammers,
and then they also
and then
have
go
a stage.
See a concert. Yeah,
I mean,
I feel like it's great.
That's look, Don't Tell is doing a ton of cool comedy shows, mm-hmm. and their whole thing is not at regular venues, so mm-hmm. they do like MMA rings or
sure.
like, you know, fucking barbershops.
Yeah.
So I think that's the coolest part too, is that when how. Paul was saying this, when you're coming up and just starting stuff, you get to play a lot of weird places.
Yeah.
And it took me down a quick memory lane of like, oh yeah, 60-year-old woman's surprise birthday party in her backyard. That was a weird one.
That was a weird one.
Deviled eggs were very good.
Yeah, so I think booking more shows is definitely something we want to do. We want to record some stuff, continue to write both separately and together. And I've been working on a website that we just
nice.
Need to finish the copy for that will go live hopefully really soon, which then once we can get some recordings, which that entire concert we have that full concert live.
I did
audio.
Notice that, yeah.
And we have video for that too. So like that'll go on, we'll have snippets of that on the website just so when we're trying to book stuff, people can have a place to go because we don't have social media right now.
Yeah.
I don't really want it.
As we've been talking this whole weekend about it, pal, it's not fun.
I don't want it.
It's
and I'm not like, here's the thing, like I'm not trying to be some big famous person.
Yeah.
I'm really just really happy to be sharing my music in this capacity.
And you want people who want to hear it to hear it.
Yeah. And it's a fun thing that I have, and I'm a musician and I like to do that. So
a damn good one.
Thank you. So yeah, we'll see where that goes, but hopefully that website gets up soon, so at least we have a place to like send people.
I can't believe did you think I was gonna be bad? No, Danielle, I did not think you were gonna be bad.
Yeah, I guess I don't give off the vibes that I would like go perform if I thought that I was bad.
Yeah, no, you're talking about asking about my delusional coworkers and who I know of that genre.
Mm-hmm.
I never would have expected. Again, it goes back to the 10 years old of you singing like, maybe I'm good. No, you
yeah.
are.
Yeah.
And I don't think you're the kind of person that would step up in front of people to do something to make a fool out of themselves.
Right. I'm reserved enough that
yeah.
like the anxiety of that would keep me back enough.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. We probably did a little bit. Let me go check on that. But while I'm doing that, is it just going to be borrowthebones.com?
Yeah. I think I already got the domain set up. I think it is borrowthebones.com.
Will you also please tell the story of how you came up with the name Borrow the Bones?
Oh, yeah. This is great. So
we do have, let me see here real quick. We are 9% battery, so we will definitely do this and then cut it.
Okay. Borrow the Bones. So Paul Bofa, who is my bandmate, he wrote this song and he played it for me once and I just loved it. And he told the story of, I think he was like at a show or a festival, music festival, something like that. And there was a guy walking by or running by, and there's a group of people, and they were like, the snippet of all he heard was, just drop your pants and go for a run. And that idea just kind of stuck with him. And that line became the start of the chorus for that song. And basically the idea of the ending line of that song is, live life while you borrow the bones. Like, we are only here living in these bones. Like, these are borrowed bones. And you got to live life to the fullest. Drop your pants. Go for a run. Dance with the fiddle until it's done. Like, sing with the fiddle until it's done. See?
Or
words.
Or dance with it. You ever thought about changing to dance, though? That's pretty good.
So that's kind of just the gist of it. And for me, with music, it very aligned to me personally that I was like, yeah, let's just do it. Like, I'm living now.
Yeah.
I like to sing. Here's somebody who likes to sing. Here's somebody who likes to play. I'm not an instrumentalist. I don't like playing instruments.
Yeah.
Here's somebody who's willing to play, learn my songs, I learn his, and like, let's just go borrow the bones. And that's where it came from.
It's short, but you have so much time to fill
mm-hmm.
in this sun up to sundown of a life.
Yeah.
And
if you do fill it, you can look back and say, I borrowed my bones and I used them well. Yep. Take them back.
Yep.
Let me go see what's next. So yep. I really love that sentiment. And I'm excited for your website because then I get to listen to you whenever I want.
Yeah.
Because
well, maybe by this time it airs, I will have it ready so that
is, guys, for real. It. Danielle can fucking riff. So check out Borrow the Bones, Danielle Mishkit. She's very inactive on social, but yeah. Borrow the Bones will at some point be a real thing. And
well, it's very
BorrowTheBones.com.
Yes, exactly. It is not .com official yet.
.gov.
.org. I don't know. Nonprofit. You can give me some money.
Tennis. 7. You're the best. I love you so much. BorrowTheBones.com at some point. Danielle Mishkit. Dinner at your place. Love you lots. Goodbye.